Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to the midweek update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio for this Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. We are broadcasting live from HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And on this somewhat cloudy, overcast day, we are getting excited. Yes, we are getting excited about this Saturday's broadcast because we are finally at our Break the Budget key. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. And this Wednesday, and every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. And this week, we have so many great things to talk about on our show because, well, we have incredible guests coming up this Saturday. Can I just tell you, there are some nifty things that we want to talk about with you, and it's going to be like our holiday love Valentine's episode. Yes. We are going to have all kinds of minutes on your money this week that have to do with romance and our better halves and how to deal with the financial impact that money and financial decisions have on our lives, our families, and most importantly, our significant others. So we're going to talk about all kinds of great things like that coming up this weekend. Plus, I am so excited. Are you broke because you want to be? Well, Larry Winget, author of that book, is going to be joining us this Saturday, and I'm so excited because he is going to talk to us all about his books and his theory on money management and how he kind of came up with it. And as the world's most irritational speaker, he is going to incite you through his individual style and his tell-it-like-it-is, cutting-across-the-grain attitude to get you to take control of your finances this weekend. So I'm excited about that. So this week's key, Break the Budget, is we're going to have some fun. We have a lot of work to do. But we've gone through a bunch of different tools this season so far to help us get positioned both with the right information by creating our goals and most importantly the right attitude to begin what we're going to do this week with our assessment envelope. So I'm very excited about this this coming show because we have so many things to talk about. But first, we have some minutes on your money today. On today's show, I want to talk to you about the Fed's plan to pull back on the stimulus plan. Yeah, I know it's a little confusing, but the Federal Reserve could be pulling back its unprecedented stimulus for the U.S. economy by first removing some cash from the financial system and then raising interest rates, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says. This morning, as he delivered his talk, the U.S. Central Bank has pumped more than $1 trillion into the economy after it slashed benchmark rates to near zero to try to combat the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Now, while the economy has grown for the past two quarters, unemployment is at a lofty 9.7% for the U.S. And in his most detailed description so far of how the Fed aims to dismantle the extensive emergency support facilities it put in place during the crisis, Bernanke has made it clear that the Fed's thinking on its exit strategy has advanced, even though the time for tightening monetary policy was still some ways a little bit far away. Yeah, you think? So anyway, although at present the U.S. economy continues to require the support of highly accommodative monetary policies, at some point, the Federal Reserve will need to tighten financial conditions. And that's Bernanke's comments that he had prepared for a hearing of the House Financial Services Committee. Now, because of heavy snow, the hearing was shut down because the Fed wasn't able to have access because of all the snow when transportation got shut down over there. The Fed decided to go ahead and just make the testimony public as opposed to being able to deliver it to the committee itself. Now, Bernanke said exit steps include the likely widening of the gap between the discount rate that the Federal Bank charges banks for emergency loans and the overnight interbank federal funds rate in its main policy tool. The Fed pulled the discount rate closer to the Fed funds rate during the severe credit crunch to encourage banks to use it to obtain short-term funding. Now, U.S. stock indexes read the Fed chairman's comments as hinting a rise in interest rates and added to the losses, while the dollar gained against the euro and the yen. Now, Mark Vittner, who's an economist at Wells Fargo Securities in Charlotte, North Carolina, says they seem to be softening the beaches a little bit with rhetoric that even if they start raising interest rates, they have a long way to go to just get policy back to neutral. So he says they think that they are trying to get a market ready for that. Primary dealers polled by Reuters last week expected the Fed to raise rates in the final 3 months of this year. Bernanke said that the Fed could begin testing tools to absorb the massive amount of reserves that had pumped into the banking system, such as reverse repurchase agreements and term deposits for banks at the central bank in small amounts to prepare the markets. As the time to tighten financial conditions drew nearer, the Fed could ramp up reserve draining operations. Shrinking the central bank's bloated balance sheet would give policymakers tighter control over short-term interest rates, Bernanke said. What you need to know about all of this hyperbole, because that's pretty much what I think it is just a bunch of rhetoric and more hyperbole, is them not being able to admit that they made a mistake in doing what they did. But let me tell you what this means for you. Interest rates were going to go up regardless of this belt tightening because we are not going to be buying mortgage notes like we were. And because the federal government is going to stop shoring that up, the treasury bills, to make sure that mortgage rates stay affordable, rates were going to go up anyway. So all this is really telling us is that rates are going to go up sooner rather than later. And as a result of that sooner rather than later, we are going to experience potentially higher interest rates. But clearly, Karen is not going to have a great report for us on Saturday about the quality of the stock market performance for the week as a result of this, because nervous investors are going to start moving back in to different types of investment vehicles that are going to give them some more stability. So we've got some challenges ahead of us as an economy. All that matters to you is that right now, as it has been for the last almost decade, mortgage rates have been unprecedentedly low, okay? When I first got into the mortgage business in the 90s, a smoking deal on a 30-year fixed-rate loan was 9.5%. Smoking deal. So if you had bad credit, you were in the double-digit figures, and your affordability was reduced. Or if you weren't able to prove your income and went with a stated income loan because you were a commissioned employee and your income fluctuated, or you ran a business, and while you personally made money, your business took a loss, but because of IRS rules, you know, it looked like you didn't make any money, like you lost money that year. All of those people that, you know, could afford to buy property had such higher interest rates that they bought more modest properties. And part of what happened to us as a country over the last decade with the living beyond our means got perpetuated because of these low interest rates. So I contend that the low interest rates weren't going to last forever. They lasted much longer than I thought they would. But now that the money supply has gotten so crazy and loose, they've got to start pulling back some of that money. If you never took economics class in college, that's where you learn about M1 and M2 and the supply of money and how much is out there. It wouldn't hurt you to start Googling some of that stuff and practicing our last key in the Keys to Riches, which is become a voracious reader, and start reading for yourself what some of this stuff means, the difference between M1 and M2 for macroeconomics. Because all that they're doing is making an adjustment in M1 that's going to affect M2. And it doesn't mean a hill of beans to you as an individual unless you have a lot of unsecured debt that could potentially rise upward if it's based on an index that is going to be affected by the Fed tightening its belt. So enough of the heavy talk. We have more midweek update with our Millionaire Minute and more minutes on your money coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420, 1-866-966-9420, or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are tuned into the midweek update on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And we have your regularly scheduled segment, the Millionaire Minute. Yes, it is that time again for the Millionaire Minute, and this segment is where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now, today. And this Millionaire Minute is from Adam Koo, who is a self-made millionaire at 26, and he believes that all self-made millionaires possess and practice these seven essential skills. He says, it's easier than you think once you know how. And step one, adopt the millionaire mindset. Millionaires see learning experiences where Mr. Ordinary sees failure. The moment you adopt these beliefs and habits of a millionaire, your perception of the world will change completely, and you will realize that there are money-making opportunities everywhere and every day around you. Amazingly, these opportunities that you were once quite blind to. Step two, set clear financial goals. Wealth never happens by chance. It always begins with a clear goal in mind. At one point of time in their lives, millionaires always had to make a decision to become rich. However, when you talk to most people what their financial goals are, you often get a blank stare. This is a major reason why they will never achieve any level of wealth because they have no clue what it is. Unless you have a specific figure to focus on, you will never be able to develop a strategy to achieve it. Step three, create a financial plan. Once you have set specific financial targets of how much you want to earn and how much money you want to accumulate, you then can develop an effective plan to achieve it. Goals by themselves are nothing but pipe dreams. Only when you create a plan have you made your goal a possibility. The moment you start taking action on your plan, your dream becomes a reality. Step four, massively increase your income. After developing their financial plan, most people tend to become initially disheartened. They look at their plan and realize that the amount that they are earning and saving right now will be decades before they see any big money. It is therefore important that you learn how to accelerate and turbocharge your financial plan by taking steps to massively increasing your income. Step five, manage your money and reduce expenses. Many people think that by increasing their income, their wealth will automatically increase. Unfortunately, increasing income is only one side of the wealth equation. After all, there are people who earn $2,000 a month who are broke, and then there are those who earn $20,000 a month who are still broke. The reason is because when we don't manage the money we earn, our expenses will always rise to our level of income, wiping out any surplus we may have. Step six, grow your money at millionaire returns. By increasing your income and reducing your expenses, you will find that you will be able to accumulate a surplus of funds that you can use to help you build your fortune. You need to do this because no matter how hard you work and save, you will never be able to create phenomenal wealth unless you learn how to put your money to work for you. Through the power of compounding, you will be able to take small sums of money and build it into huge returns over time. And last but not least, step 7, protect your fortune. There is no use working hard to build your personal fortune only to see it all taken away from you. There are many people who have taken decades to build their fortune only to see it wiped out by accident, unforeseen illness, or through an unexpected lawsuit. Self-made millionaires engage professionals like insurance advisors, lawyers, and accountants to help them build a financial fortress so their wealth is protected from potential creditors, plaintiffs looking to sue, and the government who may take away a big chunk of your wealth through a whole range of taxes that you may not have even heard about. So there you have it. These are the 7 steps that you must take toward financial abundance. We believe that if you were to take just these 7 steps today and apply them prodigiously right now, you will see instant results. So, now fully and completely integrate these habits now. See yourself in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you. Imagine yourself with these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality. And that's your Millionaire Minute. Pretty powerful stuff. So I'm pretty excited about, you know, this week's key because we've got so many neat things coming up because we're going to address our assessment envelope that we talked about in our second week of this season with Take Action, Make Assessment. Our goal was to be able to assess objectively what our daily dollars are doing. And we wanted to take a long enough assessment time because of the way we think. And we think differently at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month. We also think differently at the beginning of the paycheck and the end of the paycheck. We're flush with cash. Oh, let me buy around for you. Let me take care of that. I'll pick up the check this time. You got it last time. And all of a sudden, you know, we're behaving in a different manner because we have cash in our pocket. But then we have to pay our bills. And before you know it, we're at the end of our paycheck. And now that we're at the end of our paycheck, and we haven't gotten our other one, we kind of ran out of money. And so now we're struggling. So the decisions we make with regard to spending toward getting that next paycheck before it arrives is very different than how we behave at the beginning of the paycheck. And also, you know, that moves up in a macroeconomic position to your month in view. Because when you're flush with cash and you're not thinking about saving up for other bills that you might have. You know, at the beginning of the month, you have rent due, you have potentially some of your other bills are due on the first, your utility bills are usually due there. And so as you get to the end of the month, knowing that you're going to have that big whack on the first, you behave differently. So that's why we take this whole time to save our receipts and really truly evaluate what's going on in our financial lives. Because by doing that, we make an unbiased look. And we don't want to budget first. We don't want to put the cart before the horse like so many people do. Part of why budgeting doesn't work. So instead, we create a healthy savings and spending plan. And that's what we're going to be working on this Saturday on our show during our key segment and going through all of the nuts and bolts of what you need to be doing to be able to create financial independence and begin that healthy savings and spending plan so you can accomplish those goals that we did during Dreams with Deadlines. One last minute on your money for this week. Identity fraud rises to new highs. And this is from CNBC's Christina Cheddar Burke. With criminals growing increasingly sophisticated and organized, identity fraud is once again on the rise, according to a survey released by Javelin Strategy and Research. Javelin's annual surveys show that the number of identity fraud victims rose 12% to 11.1 million adults last year, and the value of the fraud increased 12.5% to $54 billion with a B dollars. That's the highest level since the survey was started in 2003. Michael Stanfield, CEO of Intersections, one of the survey's sponsors, says this is not a crime of individuals or petty thieves. According to Stanfield, there is an increase in the number of crime rings, many often working out of Eastern European companies who are using organized methods of stealing personal information and using it to conduct identity fraud. He says criminals are like water. They seek the easiest path. And right now, the easiest path is the American consumer, and to use the American consumer to steal information and steal financial resources. The good news is, though, that consumers like you and I are fighting back. According to the study, people are being more vigilant in detecting fraud and resolving it. Here's what's the crappy deal in all of this. Average fraud resolution time dropped 30% to 21 hours. So it's great, it's not crappy that the time spent dropped 30%, but the fact that we're spending 21 hours to resolve something that was perpetrated against us, and a half of the new victims filed police reports, and so that's doubled the number of arrests, which is great, and there are triple the prosecutions and convictions right now on identity theft, but there's just not enough laws in place, and because it's so difficult, they're so slippery, and most security breaches go undetected. So that means consumers need to continue to be watchful for signs of fraud and take steps to protect themselves. There are many ways that thieves can steal your information, from just malware that infects your computers to so-called phishing scams that use fake websites to collect your username and password info. So just some food for thought. Make sure you know where your wallet is. Make sure that you protect all of your personal financial data offline somewhere. And join us again this week, Saturday, big show, big star, Larry Winget, so excited. He's from the TV show Big Spender, and he's going to help get our attitude in check so we can be very successful as we create our healthy savings and spending plan on this week's Key Break the Budget. Thank you so much for joining us this Wednesday, and we look forward to chatting with you again on Saturday. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and you've been listening to the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth radio program. And here is to your financial independence.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America is the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.